listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Wednesday, September 21st, 2016, and it's week 4 of the Fantasy Movie League fall season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm joined by Patrick Reardon, the box office guy. And Patrick, Kubo strikes back.
Kubo, by a very narrow margin, ended up, I believe, in our best performer, and like anybody who had it in their lineup at the bottom was in good shape. But I'm just most irritated about Miss Jones and her baby, and like we didn't need her to do much. Just get into the low teens, and she ended up in the eights, and it just destroyed my lineup and many others as well.
Well, we're living in the wrong country for that, I think, because it did pretty well in the UK, but...
Much like the second Bridget Jones movie, which I actually did see, it was pretty awful, but worldwide it did really well and did less so here, but same situation again. But again, had such a manageable number to get to and it couldn't get there, so I'm not sending a baby gift.
Well, I think this week epitomizes what kind of a gut wrench playing this game can be, right? Because the Thursday numbers that we had from the Thursday previews, we had 3 movies with Thursday previews. And Friday morning, I think this really surprised the player base that Snowden beat Bridget Jones by like 30K, and Blair Witch was way under the number that everybody thought it would get at, and it did end up tanking on the weekend. So I think there was this mass exodus away from Blair Witch and Bridget Jones towards Snowden on Friday morning, but then it kind of didn't matter as much because Kubo ended up having a much better weekend than anticipated. Anyway, so that was kind of interesting the way that went.
It did, and with that Thursday number, I wasn't sold on Blair Witch last week at all, so this was just reassurance to like stay away from it. Bridget Jones, I was thinking, like, the ladies and big groups aren't going to come out on Thursday night. It'll like play a lot better over the course of the weekend, and it didn't, and I think Snowden did a little bit better than most projections were expecting it to do.
Well, and then the other thing on top of that was if you followed estimates closely on Saturday and then on Sunday, it swung pretty wide, and it seems like lately if you've got perfect cinema based on the estimates on Saturday, you're probably not going to have it when the finals are all in but on Monday.
I would not even going to do anything resembling celebrating until those actual numbers come in on Monday.
And overall, that just tells you nobody knows. That's why they count the ticket stubs, right?
And even us, or this game wouldn't be that interesting if then we just plug in a formula. Although you're doing your best over your website.
Well, I would like to think that I help people play the game a little bit more intelligently and avoid making obvious mistakes. But yeah, I mean, I ended up falling. I was literally the 100th. Going into last week, I fell a bit. I'm in like the 150s now. It happens to everybody.
I'm way off from the 150s. I got to try and get back there.
So Kubo barely beat Hell or High Water for best performer. 90.7K to 90.7K against 90.2K. So Hell or High Water almost brought it in again. But Perfect Cinema ended up being 2 screens of Sully, only 1 screen of Snowden, a screen of Don't Breathe, and 4 screens of Kubo. Only 28 people had it this week,
which is not a lot.
Most popular cinema was Bridget with 4 screens, Snowden, and 3 times Kubo. It ended up being a $24 million difference between the two.
That's a lot of millions I got to make up there, and so do several others.
Well, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, that's about the average. About 25 million is typically the average between Perfect Cinema and whatever most popular ends up being. Now, it's not clear because there's some eligibility requirements that have to be checked and so forth, but the week 3 weekly winner is going to get a Bridget Jones prize pack from our friends at Universal.
Our good buddies at Universal were nice enough to provide that. So even though the movie, like, you know, let a lot of us down, like, just in terms of its performance, like, when the winner from last week will still get a prize pack.
Now, in the overall standings, we're finally starting to get some break there as we've had.
It was a big separation weekend.
Yeah, bigger separation week. We do still have a tie for first place at $252 million and change. Genie's Honest Theater Company and Just Too High Strung Cinema with both of those. And then just behind them is Woo 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 Kenny Woo Cineplex at $251 million.
A little separation, but like really close is the top, like it always is. So nothing's decided yet. Somebody could definitely surge now, especially that we're starting to get some bigger movies and we're seeing a lot of big movies go head to head, like we'll get into later for this weekend.
And then there's a whole lot of people tied for fourth, including some familiar names like Backseat Directing, I Am Jack Cineplex, who's running the FML Olympics, Hoosier Movie Guy. A couple other familiar names in there in the top rung of folks on the overall standings.
Backseat Directing is not going away anytime soon. It's trying to contend for that triple crown again.
Now, how about brackets? So we had the London bracket last week that I thought yielded an interesting winner.
Shaun of the Dead is one of those movies where it didn't put up a huge number at the box office when it first came out. That was also a movie that was much bigger internationally. But through home video, cable, all and whatnot, it's got a very loyal following, so they kind of pushed it through to the end. I wasn't stunned to see it do so well.
Now, this week, if you wanted like high quotient of John Wayne or Clint Eastwood movies, this week's bracket topic is for you.
And we're doing with the Magnificent Seven being released this weekend. We thought, what better time than to do just a big Western bracket? So we've got a 64 movie bracket going right now, trying to figure out the best Western of all time. And in putting it together, it easily could have been just John Wayne versus Clint Eastwood on each side of it. So it was kind of tricky trying to like willow like all of those things down. But I think we came up with a pretty good spread about different types of Westerns covering different eras. And we're in the Sweet 16 now, and we've got a lot of worthy movies. I don't think there's anything that's just really like pulling the upsets and that shouldn't be where it is.
I have to admit that out of all the brackets we've done so far, I've probably seen the fewest movies out of this list.
There's a lot of old ones, like some of these John Wayne ones I hadn't seen, so I had to like dig back into the research just to see how it was perceived at the time, looking at like, you know, all kinds of reviews. But Rotten Tomatoes is going to give you great stuff, so you just kind of have to like dig deep and just to see how is the movie perceived at the time, how did it do compared to everything else it was up against. So a little tricky to put together, but people seem to be having fun with it.
I think Blazing Saddles is going to do well here just based on name recognition in this.
Blazing Saddles, as of the recording of this, is about to take down the original Magnificent Seven, which was a top seed, and Blazing Saddles could end up winning the whole thing. I wouldn't be shocked. It's a comedy. It's a spoof of kind of the movies we're looking for the best of, but it's so beloved, I don't see how you leave it out of this.
Well, let's talk about our friends here at Loot Crate here. So we had the cutoff for our last box last week, but because we're getting into Halloween time, the new theme is not surprising here is horror. So this themed crate, they're taking over 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons and putting them into this month's crate. So you can channel your best Final Girl with items from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and of course Halloween. So you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to go subscribe to this month's crate. Just go to www.lootcrate.com/FML. You enter a code FML, you save 10% off of any new subscription. There's the standard box, right, which goes for less than $20 a month. Typically, you're getting like gear, collectibles, housewares, and other favorite pop culture stuff in there. But then there's also the Loot Crate DX, or if you're more the type to wear your geeky heart on your sleeve, then there's Lootware, the monthly wearables and accessories subscription. And like they like to say, that is the droid you're looking for. So horror is the theme. You can go there before the 19th here at 9 p.m. Pacific, and you subscribe, and you'll get yourself a bunch of horror-based gear this month.
And this is probably like, if I had to choose a month to go for Loot Crate, this would probably be it, especially if you're a horror fan, because there's going to be a lot of cool stuff in there, and I'm seeing like the Halloween stores pop up all over town. The pumpkin patches are starting to come up. So if you like Halloween, this is your Super Bowl for a whole month.
So,
Pete, do you have a favorite horror movie?
Do I have a favorite horror movie? I like the Scream series.
Okay.
I kind of like how that one's kind of introspective and is knowledgeable of other horror movies, and yet characters commit the same errors despite knowing the rules, as it were.
a fan of that one. And there's a good chance, like around Halloween, I'm trying to figure out a theme for a potential horror bracket, so we could be having some fun with that one in the near future.
Well, yeah, you got. Well, if you're gonna, are you gonna put Scary Movie in there as well? The
I think there's too many other good horror movies out there. I think we could probably leave. I don't think Scary Movie is to horror movies what Blazing Saddles is to Western. Okay, so that's I feel confident I could leave Scary Movie out.
All right, fair enough.
But Scream would definitely be in.
Well, let's talk about our two new movies. So it's unusual that we only have two new movies. So it's going to have some interesting pushback on the theater counts here this week. You would expect some higher holds on theater counts because we only have the two new movies. Let's. Which one do you want to talk about first? Kids or Cowboys?
Why don't we stay out west?
Okay, so Magnificent Seven. So the theater count for this is going to be roughly 3,600 and change. The last long-range forecast on this was 49 million. We're recording this early, well, mid-afternoon on Wednesday, and the proboxoffice.com for this just came out. It's 51 million is the number they're putting on this, so they raised it. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 63%. But I'm a little skeptical of this one.
I am skeptical as well. I was just playing around with the numbers, just like looking at Westerns historically, specifically over the last 25 years and Denzel Washington movies. The way that this movie's priced this week, you have to believe that it's going to be both the highest grossing opening Western of all time and also the highest opener of Denzel Washington's career. And I'm not convinced it gets to that number. It's got to perform ridiculously well, I think, to play it on one screen.
Yeah, here's the other one that scares me about this. What's starting to turn into, I think, a good source is Variety, usually on Wednesday, has an article about what they think is going to happen on the upcoming weekend. Now, in my day job, I end up writing a lot of copy that ends up in articles that the press writes about our products. And whenever I read the Variety articles about movies, there's something about the wording that makes it sound similar. Like last week, the Variety article talked about Snowden, and there was something about the way the wording was that made it sound like it wasn't Variety writing that, but it was like the marketing person for Snowden who was writing that. And yeah. I think that's important because if I'm right about that, and I might not be, that would reveal what they think it's going to do. And the Variety article mentioned that they thought that the number associated with Magnificent Seven was 35 million. To get to 50 seems just really aggressive to me.
Like especially for a Western, just like looking at like the highest opening Westerns of all time. If you want to throw Rango in there, which was the spring movie, and it's kids, it's going after a family audience, that was 38.1. And then after that, like Cowboys and Aliens is like 36.4, but that's also a big summer movie, like sci-fi mashup. I was looking at, the last 25 years, the three traditional Westerns that are in this group of highest grossers, I put True Grit, Maverick, and Unforgiven in there. If you adjust for inflation, those movies all end up about around 31 million for their opening. And I think this goes a little bit higher because of the nice Denzel and Chris Pratt bump, but 50 just seems crazy.
So you're thinking more like mid-40s?
I'm thinking low 40s, actually.
Low 40s, which if that's the case, it's likely unplayable if it's low 40s.
Especially with the next movie we're going to talk about, I think it's going to perform pretty well. And I don't think Sully is going away anytime soon, especially since I don't think it's going to lose. It'll lose some screens because it's in its third week. But with only two new movies this week, I think it's still going to hold up really well.
Okay, well, I think you and I are going to disagree on that one when we get to it. But yeah, I think we're in agreement on Magnificent Seven. Given its pricing, if you just do like the bonus bar kind of stuff at the beginning of the week, when I set the lineup calculator on Monday, I set the new films, in this case, Storks and Magnificent Seven, to whatever their long-range forecast was. And then I set everybody else, all the other films, equal to whatever the average value was of those other two. So for this week, the average value was 91.3 thousand and change, roughly in there. So if you set that, if you believe in that as a way to try to compare different movies, Magnificent Seven is at like an 88.6 value at 49 million. If you're right, if it's more like 42 million, then it becomes completely unplayable because it's going to be, you know, down in like the 76 range. So I think your FML bucks are better spent elsewhere this week than on the Magnificent Seven.
I totally agree. I'm as of right now, I've got two screens of our next movie and six screens of Snowden, which I might shift around a little bit on the back. But right now, I definitely like Storks better as an anchor.
So let's talk about Storks. So this is not the first time we've had this kind of earlier fall animated release of a non-Disney film. It seems like kind of a niche place for this.
This is kind of the spot usually where Sony, like in late September, has had a lot of success with the two Hotel Transylvania movies and the two Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And they also had Open Season in this range as well. So my main hesitation about Storks is it's coming from Warner Brothers Animation, which, again, they aren't exactly a titan in the animated realm, although they did really well with the Lego movie a couple years ago. So it's a bit of a test for them, kind of opening on Sony's turf here, but I still think they're going to do okay, mainly because there's complete dearth of like family-friendly movies in the marketplace, and I think Storks is going to benefit from it.
So it's supposed to have somewhere upwards of 3,800 theater count. As we're recording, there's no final number on that. Its long-range forecast was for 33 million. Now Pro Box Office is saying 36.5. That seems 36.5 seems a little aggressive to me. I kind of liked the 33 from before.
I like the low 30s, but I like the direction that they think it's going in.
The comp for me there that I found using the comp finder. So if you go to my analyzer.fmlnerd.com/comps, if you put in, you know, a theater count of 3,800, if you whittle it down to theater counts somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000. You put in the fall season, and you put in like animated films. You're gonna find Open Season, which opened in about 3,800 theaters in 2006. It did 31.2 adjusted for 2016 ticket prices.
Which I think that's a pretty good range for it, because I don't think it's going to do Hotel Transylvania money or the Cloudy money, especially not the sequels, since Storks is an original piece. But that low 30 seems pretty good to me, but I like that they have it trending upwards, so that makes me feel better about the pick.
Now, Thursday numbers for both of these films are interesting. I posted my thoughts on this. I tagged on to a thread that got started earlier today by C. Delgado 6's Cineplex. I posted what I thought were some comps for both Magnificent Seven and for Storks. People did not like what I put for Magnificent Seven, but I didn't get a whole lot of pushback on Storks, which I had like Ice Age 5 had a Thursday opening of 850K on its way to 31.3. Angry Birds did 800K on its Thursday on its way to 38.2. But then the BFG did 780 on its Thursday on the way to 22.7. So I don't know that, you know, if we get a number in that 800, which one is it like? Is it like BFG or is it like Angry Birds?
Again, the tricky part about that is kids are all in school, so that's going to change those numbers a little bit. So I think it's probably going to be lower, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to put up a decent number. What was the Angry Birds number again?
The Angry Birds number was 800K turning into 38.2.
God, like if you could find something in like, you know, that half a million to like 700 range, I still think I'd feel pretty good about Storks.
Well, especially with animated movies directed at kids, to your point, right? Everybody's in school. You're not going to get a big Thursday number here in the fall. And that's what makes these numbers so difficult to interpret, right? As the criticism my numbers got in the chatter, justifiably, was that it's hard to pick both like genre, theater count, rating, time of year, and find a comp that's going to match all those kind of things. There's just not enough Thursday data. It doesn't go back far enough for us to make good comps for every single movie. And I think that for this week, for our two openers, I don't know that anything you hear about Friday morning is necessarily going to be indicative of what's going to happen over the weekend.
And then it's especially hard. I mean, there's a ton of Denzel data to choose from. Sure. But at the same time, he's never really done a Western per se, although Book of Eli had like Western themes, but it was kind of in the semi-near future. But different genre from him, so that just like doesn't give you a totally accurate number to go on, unfortunately.
See, I went for movies that were part of franchises. This isn't really a franchise per se, but I mean, there's not a whole lot of remakes to go with. So I found Mad Max 4 did 3.7 on Thursday on its way to 45.4. Prometheus did 3.6 on its way to 51.1. And Rise of the Planet of the Apes did 1.4 on its way to 54.8.
And again, super hard to do because, again, we're talking big, gigantic summer movies where a lot of kids are out of school. And when I was like looking for Westerns kind of in this time frame, the only thing I could find was like 310 to Yuma from 9 years ago. It came out a little earlier in the month. It only made about $14 million, which Magnificent Seven is going to do a much bigger number than that. But there really isn't a really precedent for big Western remake end of September, Denzel Washington reuniting with Antoine Fuqua. So you really kind of got to go with your gut on this one.
Yeah, that one's tough. But let's talk about returners. So you like Sully this week. That surprises me a little bit.
It's maybe a screen, depending on how everything else comes out. Like, I'm not going to stack the deck with it. But I think it's going to hold up pretty well. And, again, with only two new movies coming out there, I don't think it's going to have as big of a drop as people are expecting. And it's going to hold a lot of those screens. And I think word of mouth is really strong.
Well, last week it only dropped 38%, 38.2%. Compared to its opening weekend. In order to get to that value we were talking about before, that 91.3 value, it would have to only drop 29.6 and bring in 15.2 or so million in order for it to just sort of get parity with some of these other movies that we're talking about. You think it's going to go that high?
Yeah, I had it like in that like that 33 range a little bit. Like I had like closer to like, you know, 13 and change, but so I'm just going to have to go to the lineup calculator and figuring that out. Just as a gut call, I still think Sully's going to hold up pretty well, but maybe not in terms of fantasy here. I got to run the numbers.
Well, the one that they're teasing us with is Bridget Jones again this week.
I feel like I got so burned this like last week. I don't know if I can go back.
Well, so it's...
But it's tempting. It is tempting.
This is where two-week rule, right? I think you have to look really closely at both Bridget and Snowden this week because they're going to retain all their theaters for the second week in a row. And it'll be really interesting to see if they also retain Showtimes when the Showtime report comes out on Thursday.
That'll be interesting to find out. Of the two, since they were so close together last weekend, I just have Snowden beating it out by a little bit this week. And that's where I'm like, I'm leaning slightly towards.
Well, but we've seen
overperformed last week. The word of mouth has been better than I expected, especially considering the reviews going into it. And I think that one also might stick around better than people think.
Well, so Pro Box Office has Bridget Jones' Baby coming in at 5.5 this weekend and Snowden at 4. Now, of course, they were wrong about both of those films last week.
And I don't agree with them again.
But we've seen this phenomenon before where a lot of times when a movie underproduces in its opening, it ends up having a little bit of a rebound the second week. And that's what I'm looking at for Bridget. I mean, it only has to drop 40, which is a little more aggressive. They have it at like 35 percent. You know, it only has to drop in like the high 30s, low 40s. For you to consider it on multiple screens.
It is tempting, believe me. I looked long and hard at it.
I'm kind of splitting the difference right now. Lineup I have right now is two screens of Storks, two screens of Bridget Jones, and four screens of Snowden. That uses all but four of my FML bucks.
That's not a bad way to go. If I were to like go back that way and like get rid of some of those Snowdens for Bridget Jones, like I wouldn't feel great about myself, but that just it's not losing screens. And, yeah, the ladies might come out this second week, but it burned me.
Now, what about Blair Witch? Do you think we're going to see, like, the traditional kind of 60% drop for horror, or do you think it's going to do worse?
Considering the original projections, how low it came in last weekend, I see no reason why it doesn't stick with the typical, like, horror trajectory. I think it's going to have a big drop, and I don't know, like, I'm not hearing anybody saying anything good about it, so I have a hard time believing that it's going to hold up well.
Well, Pro Box Office has this one as dropping almost 67%. They have it at like 3.1.
Wouldn't stun me.
And then the other one that we could get teased into this week potentially is When the Bow Breaks.
So it wasn't really on my radar. I was looking at all the other movies that we were considering, but what does that have to get to realistically to be a viable best bonus?
So ProBoxOffice.com has this one at 2.7, but even if it only drops 53% to like 2.5, it's still potentially something worth playing. If you look at The one I was looking at, I was trying to look for films that had similar opening weeks and similar second weeks. So completely different genre, but The Boy Next Door did $14.9 million in its opener, did $6 million in its second week, and then only dropped 32% in its third week. Now the thing to watch for there is the theater count, and this is where when we were talking about before, there's only two new movies. So a lot of movies that have been in theaters for a while are going to retain some of their theater count because there's no other choice for theater owners. When Boy Next Door did that in its week three, it only dropped from 2,600 to 2,100 in theater count. So you might consider When the Bow Breaks if it has a good hold on its theater count. If it has a bad hold on its theater count, then I think all bets are off. But I'd look at that one closely as well.
And by all accounts, The Boy Next Door was a terrible movie from everything that I've heard. So I like the logic there.
So a couple of those things to kind of look for. Well, what else do you think, Patrick? What else do you want to delve into here?
Oh, dear God. I'm trying to think. What do we have? Like, anything else do you like as low-end filler? I'm trying to figure out with that eighth screen if I decide to go, like, you know, a different way from all, like, you know, the Snowden screens. Like, what do you like at the bottom?
Well, Hell or High Water keeps hanging around. And again, I think if you look at
theater, it has Hall of Fame potential.
It does. So it only dropped 15.7 last week. And let me see, and again, so the thing that's been hard to track about this is the pros have never given us a forecast on this. It's been hanging out at the bottom rung of the pricing curve here the whole time that it's been available to us, and it's still there. So if it did, you know, let's say that it dropped, let's say 20% compared to what it did last week, right? Last week it dropped only 16%. But if it's closer to 20%, that would mean it would bring in 1.6, and it would have huge value at 110 fantasy bucks per, or other way around, 110 revenue per fantasy bucks. So if you were looking for that low-end filler, if depending upon what you're doing with some of your other screens, I think you got to take a real close look at that one and take a real close look at what it does with its theater count again.
Definitely something like monitor. Like if it pulls this off again, like I don't see how you keep Hell or High Water out of the Fantasy Movie League Hall of Fame.
Well, we'll see what voters have to say about that during award season.
Oh, we shall see. But again, we're finally starting to get into some movies that actually are. We had Sully a little bit, which it seems like Hanks is going to be a lock for best, you know, actor. And in a world where there can be up to 10 Best Picture nominations, I wouldn't be surprised if Sully got into there. And I think we're going to see a lot more movies in the coming weeks coming out that could actually get awards votes, which, again, that's why this is a good time of year.
So let me I asked you this question a couple weeks ago. Let me ask it to you one more time. What's the next movie that breaks $50
million? I think I got to say Doctor Strange, I think, is going to be the best chance. Because I don't think any of the movies coming out next week, I think Deepwater Horizon, Miss Peregrine's, I don't think they're going to put up giant numbers. October, Girl on the Train, I don't think it's going to be Gone Girl. And then we're basically getting into that first week of November. I think Doctor Strange has the best chance. But if that doesn't, then we've got Moana coming at Thanksgiving. So we'll see how that goes. But the long-range forecast of Doctor Strange, I think on Pro Box Office, have it in the 80s, which seems a little nutty to me, but if we're only talking about 50, I'd say, like, you know, the Marvel brand is probably going to be the best bet to do that.
Yeah, it's at 88 right now.
That is ambitious. But I'm curious to, like, I'm going to be watching, like, you know, on the grid, like, on your new tools there, which are fantastic, just to see which way that line goes, because 88's a high place to start. My guess is it's going to start trending a little downwards unless the movie turns out to be spectacular. But I don't know anybody who's seen it yet, so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, for the tools that Patrick's talking about, the two new ones, one of them's kind of under the radar still, but the one he's talking about is the long-range forecast graph. So you go to analyzer.fmlnerd.com/LRF. It'll show you, for example, that the long-range forecasts for the Magnificent Seven have not changed in the last 8 weeks. They've stayed completely static at $49 million. But if you look at Storks, it has changed. 2 weeks ago, they upgraded it from $21 million to $25 million. Last week, they upgraded it from $25 million to $33 million. You know, and now their projection's $36 million. So it thinks it has quite a bit of momentum there. And if you look, last week, this data wasn't quite as reliable, right? It thought that there was some momentum for Blair Witch, which turned out to be a false positive. It thought there was some momentum for Bridget, which again turned out to be a false positive. But 2 weeks ago, this kind of graph did really well. It saw some momentum for Sully that ended up panning out, and it saw some negative momentum for When the Vow Breaks that ended up panning out. So new data source, which, you know, how useful it is yet to be seen yet, but it gave me an excuse to write some code to make some pretty graphs.
And there are a lot of colors on there. At the very least, even if you aren't able to comprehend the data, it does look pretty.
And then the new one that's kind of under the radar right now, if you go to analyzer.fmlnerd.com/pickrate, what I started to do is I've got a little program that goes out to the research vault. And one of the things you can look at the research vault is the pick rate, which shows you the average FML screens and percentage used right now on all the different screens. And what someone suggested back in like the fall, and I'm just now getting to it, like last fall, was, well, how does that change through the week? So I wrote a little program that goes and checks it at 8 p.m. Pacific time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then also checks it 8 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday through Friday, and then makes a little graph of it. So you can kind of see what the momentum of a movie is with your fellow FML players, and kind of track that throughout the week to see how different pieces of news change people's minds on different things.
And if there's anybody out there doing poorly in their leagues and they are not looking at the FML Nerds tools, you only have yourself to blame.
Thanks. I'll take that as a positive endorsement. Well, that's going to do it here for week 4 of the Fantasy Movie League fall season. You can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru, and Patrick.
You can always find me on Twitter at the Box Office Guy, and we're still remember to go vote in our Western bracket on the homepage, and we're in our Sweet 16 now, but we got a few more days left to vote. So by all means, get out there and vote for your favorite Western.
You can find the league itself on Twitter at FML_movies and on Facebook or iTunes by doing a search for Fantasy Movie League. And of course, you can still get your Fantasy Movie League gear at fantasymovieleagueshop.com. Until next week, good luck, everyone.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com.